Good morning. Trust and pray everybody is doing well this morning as we gather in the house of the Lord. Look around, wave at somebody, give somebody a smile, a good smile. I've said that so many times. Let them know that that you're alive and well and looking like you're happy to be here, okay? By the way, if you're part of our online audience, we encourage you to say hello to Dr. Cazito, who I believe does a wonderful, fantastic job at keeping up with our online crowd out there. Be sure to say a big hearty hello to him, and then as well as others that you may see along the way in that feed, be sure to give them a hearty, hey, how you doing this morning? Hope and trust and pray that everybody is doing well. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin. Father, as we come to you this morning, we ask, Lord, that you would just fill this place with who you are. Lord, I pray that that as we come into your presence, we do so with our hearts prepared to meet you here, our hearts prepared to be obedient to your word and to your will. Father, as we come, may everything that we do strive to honor and glorify you and to please you in our hearts, our thoughts, our prayers, our scripture readings, and everything. Lord, in every aspect of who we are, may we lift you up today. So, Father, we just pray that during this time you would show up and do some incredible things in our midst. Bless us as we worship you today. And, Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. It's so great to be here. Lachelle and I are just so grateful to be a part of this fellowship. And we're just looking forward to today. I want to let you know we're so grateful for Jeff and Carol and Angel and Megan and Lynn for being up here today on our first Sunday. Just great. And so really appreciate all that Lynn's done and to bring things together. Really appreciate that. So we'll get things going. And I just wanted to say that in the weeks ahead, if anybody's interested, I'll be emailing out and looking for other people who are interested in choirs and ensembles or whatever. So it may take me a while to get to you. So feel free. And if you're online, we'd love to have you. We're looking to rebuild some things as we get going together in a variety of fashion. So thank you so much. This morning, we'll start with Come Thou Fount. Feel free, please stand as you're able.
Thou fount of every blessing, to He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become His righteousness. He humbled Himself and carried the cross. Love so
left a crimson stain. He was
Amen. You know, we pray that today the Lord will do just that. He'll take us to deeper waters. He'll take us to the place where we're challenged. And I think that that's exactly what's going to happen today in the life of each and every person who is a believer, because I believe that today's topic is one that challenges Christians, whether you are new at walking with Him or whether you've walked with Him for a long time. If you have your Bible this morning, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to Matthew's Gospel in chapter 18. Matthew's Gospel in chapter 18. Now, Peter is questioning Jesus. Now, I don't exactly know why Peter asked this particular question of Jesus. I don't know whether it was a circumstance that he was struggling with, and you'll find out in just a moment why I believe that could very well be one of the circumstances. I don't know whether it was just that he wanted to have a really good grasp on this particular situation. But I can tell you that the same thing Peter was wrestling with is the same thing that you and I wrestle with. And it doesn't matter whether you have just started your walk with Christ or whether you've been walking with Him forever and ever and ever. This is something that comes up. This is something that crops up in our lives almost daily, in some cases daily, maybe weekly. And you know what that situation is? Are you ready for it? It's not going to be anything complicated. It's not overly spiritual. But it's complicated. You know what it is? It's forgiveness. Do we struggle with that sometimes? Now, I know that in my life, and I talk to people, my deal is I've said, yeah, this is what God tells us we should do. You know, when it comes down to forgiving somebody, here is what the Lord tells us. This is what we are supposed to do along the way. And you know what? There are times in our lives, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands on this one, but how many times in our lives have we said, Lord, I know this is what you want me to do, but I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm not ready to do that, Lord. I'm not in a position to do that. I don't feel like doing that. Or just flat out, I am not going to do that. Now, if we're honest with ourselves, every one of us have probably been to that particular point with some circumstance, some situation, some family member, some, you know, whatever it may be, we've been there before. And we feel like in some way, because of what that person has done to us, then we are justified in withholding forgiveness. Haven't we? How many times have we gone to God and said, but Lord, I have the right to hold this in my heart. I have the right to hold this contempt towards someone. Because Lord, and I love this part, Lord, you just don't know what they did to me. Really, we do that, don't we? God knows. God knows exactly what's happened. God knows exactly what's going on. So, and I, like I said, I don't know the reason why. I don't know if Peter was dealing with this sort of a situation. There's a good chance that he probably was. Yeah, I think he wanted a little bit more than just clarity on this forgiveness issue. Yeah, because of what he said. Now, we're going to look at the scriptures at Matthew chapter 18. We're going to begin reading at verse 21. Matthew chapter 18, beginning with verse 21. It says, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he should be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. Verse 26, the servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me what you owe." Verse 29, so his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you all." And he would not, but went and threw him in prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved, and they came and told their master all that had been done. Then the master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And the master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother's trespasses. Let's pray together. Father, I come to you today and I ask that you would help us in this circumstance and in this situation. Lord, forgiveness is not always something that's easy, but it is required. It is commanded in your word. I pray, Father, that today that you will help us, those that may be present in this place today that are struggling with this, those who may be tuning in and viewing online that may be struggling with offering forgiveness, or maybe holding something in their heart or aught against a brother to the point that it is a hindrance. Father, we've read your word. It is not our word, it is your word. It is not a suggestion, Father, it is a commandment. So I pray that you will help us. Lord, help us today in our surrender to you. Lord, help us to surrender all that we have and all that we are. For Lord, we should forgive much because we have been forgiven much. Lord, today I pray that for your messenger of these few moments that you would truly speak through me. Lord, we realize that Satan loves to try to hinder anything that has anything positive to do with you. So Lord, help us to keep our focus for these few moments that we would truly hear from the Holy Spirit. Use your servant, Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So now you can see why I was wondering. You know, maybe Peter was having an issue with this. Maybe Peter had somebody along the way that had done something to him, and he was struggling with that. Now, I will ask you this. How many of us have had a circumstance or a situation take place in our lives where we really struggled with this forgiveness thing? Now, I didn't say how you did. I said you've struggled with it. You've had that thing about, okay, you know, this cut me deep. This cut me to the bone. And you know, I know, here's the part. I know what I'm supposed to do. How many of you all knew what you were supposed to do? But we struggled with doing what we were supposed to do that we knew was right. You see, the Lord was telling us the whole time, here is what you need to do. And we just got to that point where we're like, I don't want to do it. I am not. I will not. How many of y'all are stubborn? Come on. Oh, yeah. I hear the name. Hee-haw, hee-haw. Some throwing others under the bus. We can tend to have that stubbornness about us. Let me make you a promise. As a parent, let me ask this question as well. How many of you all as a parent told your stubborn child, it is your will against mine and I will win? You said that? Okay. Let me make you this promise. God will tell you that. It is your will against mine and I will win. You know what that's like. So Peter is asking Jesus this question. I'm sure he struggled with forgiveness at least at some point along the way. And again, we don't know exactly why he was approaching this subject in the manner that he was with Jesus. But basically, he came up to Jesus and that question that he asked was, Lord, how often should I forgive my brothers? And then he made himself even more spiritual. He said, should I forgive him up to seven times? Now, if you know the history and the culture of that day, to be able to say that was an overabundance of forgiveness based on the laws, okay? You know, it's like, okay, you forgive that person, it's over and done. So Peter, maybe he was trying to be spiritual in the presence of Jesus, but he said, Lord, how often should I forgive my brother? Seven times? You know, maybe somebody else would have said, oh, Peter, man, you are holy. If you're going to forgive somebody seven times, you are really, really holy, because that's an overabundance of forgiveness. Wow, Peter, look how spiritual you are. But Jesus didn't answer his question and say, oh, yes, my child, that's the way it goes. Oh, once is sufficient, but seven times is plenty. No, that's not what Jesus said to him. In fact, I believe Peter heard maybe the opposite of what he thought he was going to hear. See, remember what it was that Jesus said to him? Go back and look at that verse. And in verse 21 was where Peter asked that question. Yeah, my brother sins against me. How often should I forgive him? Up to seven times? Mr. Spiritual. And then Jesus, verse 22, said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Peter don't sound as spiritual now, does he? I mean, you know, some of us have done the math on that. A lot of us have heard that particular scripture before, and you're sitting there going, man, I just don't know if I have that in me to do that. I just don't know if I have what it takes to be able to forgive somebody that many times. I like what a commentator said about that. It was John Rice, who said, you know, by the time you have forgiven 490 times, you will be in the habit of forgiving and out of the practice of holding grudges. Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Makes a lot of sense. That's a whole bunch of times, 490 times. Listen, right now with some of us, you don't even want to forgive that person one time, do you? You are struggling with being able to say, man, and by the way, the Lord didn't say you had to like it. Why do we always try to so over-spiritualize things? God said you have to forgive your neighbor. He didn't say you had to enjoy it. I mean, I know there are times that through clenched teeth that we've said, And there, listen, there's probably times you and I have confessed, Lord, I am forgiving this person because you're making me. Not because I want to, but because I have to. You know, you've said that before, you know, when your children, well, you need to go apologize to him. Now, how'd that go over? Yeah. Well, they went and apologized. It wasn't from the heart, but it made you feel better. It didn't make the person they were apologizing to feel better because they knew the heart. Are we really forgiving as we should? Now, Jesus goes on to do something this is one of the things I really love about Jesus. Jesus realized that he was dealing with people like me, simple-minded people, that he had to teach through telling some stories. I love telling stories, okay? Yeah, I to get up and say, hey, let me give you an example. And Jesus is giving, you know, his disciples an example of the forgiveness that he is talking about. And he goes on with this parable. As a matter of fact, this is the first parable that we find in the Bible where the Lord appears as the king in the story. So, you know, when we look at things, let's go back for just a moment and consider what he is saying to Peter as well as the disciples. Verse 23, he goes on and he starts talking. He says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle his accounts with his servants. Now, a lot of us know that servants in that day were given purview over different things. They were essentially stewards to take care of things for the master. Some were better at it than others. But I want us to really grasp what's going on in this particular story. So we got the idea that the master is about ready to settle some accounts with his servants. And verse 24 says, and when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And we're sitting there going, wow. 10,000 talents. Now, I looked at some commentation to see what that would be like pretty much in modern day time, for us to really understand what this means. Do you know how much that 10,000 talents would equate to today? All right, you ready? You buckled up? $19 million. Okay? Because if you look at it, and some of you have notes in your Bible, and it says that one talent, has a monetary worth of about 20 years' wages for a laborer. One talent. 20 years. And how many did he owe him? 10,000. Does the debt seem a little bit exorbitant to you? Does it seem like a lot? But let me ask you, for how many of us did that really change the story? $19 million is owed by this man to his master. Now, first of all, I believe that the master should probably get a better accountant if they've overlooked a $19 million issue. Now, why do I say that? Yeah, a lot of times, I mean, it was simple in that day. You know, you're in charge of it. They take a little bit for themselves. We know what the tax collectors were like in that day, a lot like they are today, except they would line their pockets with, you know, they had ways to be able to make all kinds of money. They weren't liked very well. So this man owes $19 million to his master, and he is in his presence, in his face, and the master wants his money. Now, yeah, I've said this before. You know, you sit there and say, well, how did he ever get to that point? Maybe he was an embezzler. And people say, well, how does that apply to me spiritually? You realize that we are spiritual embezzlers along the way? We are taking advantage of so many things. We steal from God. And some of y'all are going, well, I don't steal from God. Do you? Have you stolen time from God? Time that he wants for you to become involved in something that he wants. I know most of us have had that situation before, whether it's family, friends, or whatever else, and you're like, well, hey, you know, would you do this? Maybe you've told one of your children at time, here, look, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go out. I want you to take care of this. And they're like, I just don't have the time. Oh, I'm not going to do it. Yeah. They've taken from your time. They've ridden that nickel completely out. They didn't earn their keep. See, we do that all the time. By the way, last time I checked, and I'm going to get a little personal here. Okay, preacher, this is the Lord's day. This is not the Lord's hour. And, you know, we've gotten to the point today where we won't even give that to God. We have bought in to the lies that Satan has put forth in this society today. And you know what? He handed us an excuse, and we've used it. Am I getting personal? What do you mean have you handed me an excuse? The pandemic. Everything is the problem of COVID today, isn't it? Now, I'm not saying that there's not some reality to that. But I will say this. People say, well, you know, preacher, I just don't feel comfortable going to church. But you'll go sit in the K&W with more people than are in this place right now. How do you justify that? Come on now. Online people, how do you justify that? Don't sit back and say, well, you preacher, I'm scared to come in there and sit with that 100 people, but I'll go sit at a ball game with 50,000. I'm not kidding. It's time we wake up. It's time that we smell the coffee in regard to that. Are we stealing God's time? Are we stealing God's money? Listen, you and I don't own anything. Every ounce of it belongs to God. All the zeros in your bank account, that belongs to God. And what he's done is he has blessed each and every one of us, but he calls us a steward. He said, that's my money, and you're supposed to be taking care of it for me. Are we stealing from God? Malachi chapter 3 says, would a man rob God? He says, happens all the time. Someday, you're going to stand before the master and settle the account. This guy right here is $19 million in. You know what that means? That means he can't pay, right? That means there's no possible way for him to pay that debt whatsoever. He can't do it. As he stands in front of the master, verse 25 says, but as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. That's serious, isn't it? Put yourself in this man's place. You're going to be sold into slavery. Your wife's going to be sold into slavery. Your children are going to be sold into slavery. That's not still not going to satisfy the 19 million. But you know what? It's going to be a start. That was the command. That's what the master commanded. But verse 26, something happened. The servant, the one who owed, fell down before him saying, "Master, have patience with me and I will pay you all." Now to me, I laugh at that part. I'm not laughing at the fact that the guy was hurting. I'm not laughing at the fact that the guy hit his knees before the master. I'm not laughing at the fact that he was begging for mercy and begging for forgiveness. Let me tell you the part I'm laughing at. I'll pay you the whole 19 million back. How many of y'all got an extra 19 mil laying around? How many of you think that in the rest of your lifetime that you will even remotely be able to make 19 million? Just Mark, I need to talk with you. I need some guidance and some advice, brother. You know what? Most of us now can begin to fathom the debt this guy was in. It was an unpayable debt. It was something he could not do. And yet he's still making this promise. You know, I believe that the master knew he would never be able to pay that money back. But something happened in verse 27. In verse 27 it says, "Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt." 19 mil. You know what? He did that because, you know, he had compassion is an interesting word. Do we have compassion in our society anymore? Folks, we have more compassion on animals and puppies than we do unborn children. Sometimes our passion is misdirected. I'm not saying we don't have it. We just don't have it directed in the right ways and in the right places. Compassion upon somebody, meaning you hurt when they hurt. When they go through tough circumstances and situations, you feel what they feel. Where is the compassion in this generation? The master, the man who had so much, realized he could do something significant for this man. Did the servant deserve it? I mean, you know, you got to think, this guy's probably skimmed 19 mil from the till. Did he deserve it? No. What he deserved was exactly what the master said was going to happen to start with. Matter of fact, he probably deserved worse. No, he didn't deserve it. But compassion breeds grace. You know what grace is? Unmerited favor. This master saw that he could make a difference in this man's life. And he forgave him the debt. That's huge. Could you imagine what that would have been like? Could you imagine being forgiven a $19 million debt? I think you would see this Baptist dance on the way out. I'd be like, "Thank you, Lord. 19 mil, I don't have to pay anymore. Woo, time to celebrate." Well, you know what? He did celebrate. You know why? Because he owed nothing else anymore. He celebrated. Let's see how he celebrated. Verse 28 tells us how he celebrated. It said, "But that servant, the one that had just been forgiven the 19 mil debt, went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii and laid hands on him and took him by the throat saying, 'Pay me what you owe me.'" Now, just a moment ago, we discovered the 19 mil was what that guy owed. Now, it was talking about talents. This time it's not talking about talents. It's talking about denarii. So you know how much a denarii is? A denarii is one day's wages. One day. That's what a denarii is. One day's wages. So this man owed him, what does it say? Fellow servant who owed him 100 days' wages. 3 months, a little over 3 months worth of a paycheck is what that guy owed this one, okay? So now, you would think that having had grace shown to him, having had mercy shown to him, that he in turn would go out and pay it forward, right? We like to use that term today, don't we? Pay it forward. You would think that he would say, look, I now get to do for someone else what God has done for me. I get to be that person to pay it forward. Is that what he did? No, he did exactly the opposite. He looked at it as an opportunity to make something. He went out, found a guy who owed him far less than what he ever owed, grabs him by the throat and says, you will pay me what you owe me. Now, a lot of us are sitting there going, well, that jerk. And you would have a right assessment. It says in verse 29, look, the same. It's following the same pattern. Verse 29 says, so his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. You see, just a little while ago, that was the man that was on his knees asking forgiveness. Now he's got somebody on their knees in front of him asking forgiveness. He is in a prime position to be able to forgive that debt, to do something incredible in this man's life, to reflect the love, the mercy, the grace that had been reflected on him only moments earlier. And it says this, verse 30, and he would not, but went and threw him in prison till he should pay his debt. Boy, that's paying it forward, isn't it? See, that's not doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. In fact, he was in that exact same situation for a far worse debt and turned on the man who owed him just a little bit. But you know, there were people watching that. There were people who knew of the tremendous debt that the servant had been forgiven. And there were people who knew the story of the small little debt that was not forgiven by the servant who had been forgiven. Did y'all follow that? Good. If not, just hang in there. It'll come clear. So what happens? Verse 31, so when his fellow servants saw what had been done. See, they had been watching both of these guys. They knew this guy had been forgiven of a huge debt, but yet then went in turn over here and wouldn't forgive his brother of a small debt. And it is believed that these were all servants of that same master. It says, verse 31, so when the fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Now, I want to point something out right here. If we were in this situation, we realize that this is a heinous thing that this guy did, right? What do we do in our society different than what they did here? Let me show you. In that verse 31, if you'll go back and look at it, it says they were grieved and they came and told their master all that had been done. It didn't say they went and told their neighbor. It didn't say they got on the telephone and got the phone tree going. It didn't say they put it out on Facebook as a prayer request. It doesn't say that they went and talked about it with each other. It says they went to the master with it. Why is it that in our society today, we like to chatter? We like to talk. And I'm going to call it what the Bible calls it. We like to gossip. But we put a spiritual twist to it. Well, brothers, did you hear about so-and-so? You need to add them to your prayer list. Like that makes it all right. If we give it as an auspice of a prayer list or a prayer request, then that makes it okay for us to share the problem. No, it does not. I believe our world would be much better off if we were too busy carrying things to the master and so busy carrying things to the master that we wouldn't have time to talk about anybody else to somebody else on this planet. And life would be so much better. Life would be so much more easy. The world would be a kinder place. But boy, we just chop each other down like oak trees. I wanted you to pay careful attention to that verse because that's not what they did. They were grieved. These were fellow servants, fellow workers of theirs. And I have a feeling that they loved both of them. So they didn't go out and say, well, did you hear what Johnny did? Johnny was forgiven this great debt and then he turned around and went, blah, 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 blah. Oh, that poor man. Do you realize what that does? People that didn't even know about it now have a tainted attitude towards at least one of those guys. And it's none of their business. None your business. How many of us would love for everybody in life today to mind their own business? So you look around. There's probably people maybe listening to this driving down the road that look spiritual. Oh, yeah. Folks, listen, if you've got a problem, you need to take it to the master, not the neighbor. If you're struggling with it, take it to the master. Not the prayer list. By the way, don't get me wrong. You can take it to the prayer list, but you don't need to take it to the prayer list with four pages of detail. You can always say, Lord, I need you. Folks, I need y'all to pray for me. I've got a situation in my heart that I need guidance with. You know what? That's good enough. Because last time I checked, God already knows what the circumstance is. Now, I'm being a little hard on us today. You know why? Because sometimes we need to be a little hard on each other. And we've got this example. It says, so what happened was as they saw and witnessed what went on, they went and they took it to the master. It says they were grieved in their heart about what was going on. And they went and told what had happened. And then the master, the one who could do something about it, the one who in our case of reference is Jesus Christ. It says the master, after he had called that servant back, I could picture they went and said, you know, it broke my heart to see what happened. And they told the master, and the master said, you get him back in here right now. I want to see him post haste. Get him in here. Verse 32, then the master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Because I had compassion on you. You came in here and at my feet, and you even promised me something that I know you could not do. You didn't have it in you to be able to pay that debt back. And yet I knew that and I forgave you. Verse 32, then his master, after he had called him, said, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you? Now remember what I said. In this parable, Jesus is the one who is the master. And you know what Jesus is saying to you and I? When we're sitting there going, I know I'm supposed to forgive, but I'm not going to do it. You know what the Lord is saying to us? Here's what he's saying to us. He said, I had compassion upon you. I had pity upon you. I have forgiven you of so much. Should you not in turn forgive those who have wronged you? I have forgiven you of a far greater debt than you could ever pay. And you're holding some piddly anny little thing. Now, when I said that, some of you all, just Satan just allowed you to get real defensive to say, well, it's not a piddly anny little thing. Last time I checked, the Lord says we're supposed to forgive. But we like to put degrees on forgiveness, don't we? Well, I can forgive this. If it's a level one, I can forgive that. If it's a level two, if it's a level five, there's some serious consideration going on. There's some things that have to take place. Now, if it's a level 10, it's just not going to happen. Don't we do that? We kind of categorize sin. Oh, no. The Bible says you forgive your brother. You forgive your neighbor. Doesn't mean that you don't do it through gritted teeth. Oh, and here's another thing. It doesn't mean that you won't have to do it again tomorrow. And the next day, and the next day. Because remember what we said before, by the time you've done it 490 times, you'll be a little less apt to hold a grudge. See, you've gotten in the habit of forgiveness. You've gotten a habit of allowing God to take care of the situation rather than you. So he gets to this guy and he says, you should have had compassion upon your fellow servant in the same manner that I had compassion upon you. And see, you got to remember in this story, the two servants were on equal level as servants, weren't they? But there was a master. The master is the one who forgave the big debt. And the master is the one who told that servant that you should have forgiven your other servant. It's gone from the vertical relationship as well to the horizontal relationship. As I have forgiven you, you should forgive others. Now, I don't know about you, but the last time I checked, God has forgiven me of much. He has been gracious to me above measure. And he says, in the manner that I have forgiven you, in the manner that I have had compassion upon you, and in the manner in which I have loved you, go thou and do likewise to your brothers. You mean even the ones we don't like? Don't we do that? Lord, there's people in my life I don't like. There's people in my life that grate on my nerves. There's people in my life that I avoid. And Lord, just to be honest with you, I kind of, I hate them. They're my enemies. You know, by the way, it's a different message for a different day, but do you realize that God addressed that well? He said this. He said, here's what I want you to do for your enemies, for those who despitefully use you. God said that we are to what? Come on now. Love them. No, yeah, we're supposed to love them, but what else are we supposed to do? We're supposed to pray. Lord, you want me to pray for that person? I don't even like to mention their name, much less ask you to bless them. That's what God wants us to do. Pray for those who are your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use you. All of a sudden, being a Christian became tougher, didn't it? It's harder. It's all right. Listen, it's all right when I'm with people I like. But when that, Lord, you really want me to pray for that person who has put 50 knives in my back? You know what God says? It's tougher, isn't it? It says, and the master said, by the way, you better understand the pity, the mercy, and the grace that I have had on you. What I have forgiven you of. What makes you any better than that person? You should show forth that same heart, that same compassion, that same forgiveness that I showed you, you should show to your brothers. Verse 34 says, and his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. Not only was his 19 million no longer forgiven, now he has been sent to the torturers. And did you get what it says? Until he should pay all that was due him. You know what that meant? His life was over. Because he wasn't going to be able to pay the 19 mil. God says, look, you better watch out the standard that you were using with one another, because last time I checked, Matthew's Gospel chapter 7 says this. It says, particularly when it comes to judgment, he says, when you judge other people, if you use an extremely stringent standard, he says, if that standard's all right for you to use against somebody, then I'll use it against you. Now, I don't know about you. I need all the help I can get. I need all the grace I can get. I need all the mercy that I can get. So my standard of judgment towards other people, people would say, that's no standard at all. I'm like, good. Because if God says, that's the standard I want God to use against me. Forgiveness. Forward motion. Do what's right. Do the right thing. Do the spiritual thing. If we're going to be spiritual, then let's be spiritual. If we're going to be godly, then let's be godly. Right? Let's quit playing games. I believe our society today wants to play games with God. I'm tired of playing games. We'll sit there and look at what the Word of God says, and then we go in a completely different direction than what it says. We will sit in here and talk about how we love each other, and then we will talk about each other behind our backs like crazy out in society. We will sit there and say, forgive one another, and yet we will cut one another down in society. What's the matter with us? By the way, listen, Christianity and spirituality is not just a Sunday endeavor. It's a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week thing. It's who you become, not what you do. It's the Holy Spirit saying in your life. And let me promise you, I think part of the reason why you got a lot of grumpy old Christians that sit around like this is because they're under conviction. God has just been working in your heart. Because, listen, if you trusted Him, He's not letting you get away with this without convicting your heart. And you said, I'm just not going to do it, God. Well, you know what? He is not going to let you go until you yield and submit to Him. Because He loves you that much. He wants you to represent Him well. Finally, he says this. So, verse 35, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. That's pretty strong language, isn't it? You know what? After we saw that story, here's what it said. Oh, by the way, same thing's going to happen to you if you don't forgive your brother. Say what? Man, I don't want to. Same thing's going to happen to you. If you've been forgiven, same thing's going to happen to you. I don't know about you, but I have never been in a situation where I have had to forgive that wasn't complicated, that wasn't a difficult type situation. But I will also make you this promise. I have never, as I have done so, and as I have truly from the bottom of my heart forgiven, like I say, even sometimes multiple times, God has blessed when that's happened. God has blessed. So where do we stand when it comes down to those type things? See, we sometimes get spiritual amnesia. You've heard me use that term before. We forget what God's done for us. We forget how blessed we are. And God says, I want you to reflect me. If you're going to be my hands and my feet, then you're going to look like me. If you're going to be my hands and feet, you're not going to do things that are contrary to what I would say or do to that person. You knock it off. You're going to represent me, then you represent me well. You stop it. You stop going out acting like you're spiritual and pious. I don't even want to touch you. You're lukewarm. I'll spew you out of my mouth. But when you get it right with me, and I can use you, I will use you in the heart and the life of people around me when you will speak my words, not yours. Even when they're difficult for you. Because you know what? They're difficult, aren't they? They certainly are. We are to forgive because we have been forgiven. The unforgiving one called before the king was judged. We will be judged for the things that we have done. We shall give an account for ourselves to God. If you had to stand before him today, realizing he's got all the evidence, he's got you dead to rights, what would you say? Well, Lord, you know, the master's coming and he's got his bank book and he said, you know what, I've kept a good tally over here and I'm 19 mil short. And that was your purview. What do you have to say for yourself? Well, God, the pandemic. That's everything else's fault, isn't it? Well, God, we had this pandemic. Lord's like, I know. I allowed it. See, God's not going to, you know, God's going to sit there with the bank book and he's going to say, well, by the way, what did you do with your time? What did you do? By the way, remember, I gave you a really, really good job. What did you do with your money? See? Have you been found faithful? Listen, I will guarantee you that if we're looking through spiritual eyes this morning, here's what just happened. All of us just got real small. Sliding under the pew because we've messed up. God knows that. Well, you know what he wants? He wants us to confess that before him and do better. He wants us to be the first servant that said, Lord, give me time, I'll pay you, because the Lord will have compassion on you and he'll say this, now do better. How many times when we were raising our children did they mess up? And you said, look, now, hey, just do better. You do better. Go out and do a better job next time. Remember where you were today. Do better next time. Do your best. Remember that? Maybe we've heard that. Maybe we've said that. The Lord wants us to bring that before Him. I like what a writer wrote. He said, the purpose of this parable is to make clear that when God calls on a member of His kingdom to forgive, He does not call on him to renounce a right, but that he has no right to examine in the matter. Asking and accepting forgiveness, he has pledged himself to show it. I have asked forgiveness and I have been forgiven. Have you? Here's what that means. Since we have asked forgiveness, since we have been forgiven, God says we must show forgiveness as well. He says, what you have received, you pass on. That was a hard one today, wasn't it? That's a tough That's hard on all of us. Some of you are sitting there going, I don't want to. Lord, you mean I have to forgive him? I have to forgive her? Oh, but God, you don't know what... Oh, yeah, that's right, you're God. You do know what they've done. But you don't know how it made me... Oh, yeah, you do know how it made me feel. But Lord, you don't know how much I've lost... Oh, yeah, you do know all that. And still, he wants us to forgive. In the manner he's forgiven us. First of all, I ask you, are you a child of the King? Has there been that time when you have accepted him by grace through faith, that gift, that shed blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross? Are you one of his children? I am. Heaven's my home, and that's what I'm looking for. Have you done that? You receive Christ. Listen, if not, I'm simply just going to say right where you are in this moment, don't let it get by you, but just simply say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need you as my Savior. Help me live for you. Amen. You know what? If you meant that from your heart, and that was a prayer from your heart, then I can make you the promise that the Lord saved your soul. Was it real, though? But see, he said, those who know me, those who love me will follow me, become a disciple. Are you going to follow him? Listen, it's not just checking off the box. Oh, I prayed the prayer with the preacher. I'm saved. No. No, there's a lot more to it than that. It's about a relationship. You just got introduced to him today when you prayed that. That's just the introduction. What about the relationship? Y'all need to go to dinner. Yeah, y'all need to go to the movie. Yeah, y'all need to hang out with each other around the bonfire. You know, that's how you get to know him. Okay? Maybe you're here today and you've struggled with this. I mean, this has been one that even some of the most spiritual people that I know have struggled with. And they're like, man, I'm just simply asking you, for the sake and the grace of God, give it to him. Go to the master with it and say, hey, listen, he loves to hear you say, Lord, I'm just having trouble doing this. You know why? Because he says, I know. I know. I know. He said, I made you. I know you. Just don't tell him no, because I will make you this promise. It is his will against yours, and you will lose. Don't have to have an attention getter. Maybe you need to just pray today, Lord, I'm all jacked up. That's a great prayer. It covers a lot of different categories, doesn't it? Lord, I'm all jacked up. I need your help. Speak to me and help me. You know what? As Lynn leads us, I'm just going to ask you to stand where you are as you're in an attitude of prayer. As Lynn leads our time, our altar's open. If you need me, I am here. Whatever decision God has placed on your heart, draw the line in the sand. Make it right now as we worship together through our time of invitation.
Just as I am without.
Bowed, as your eyes are closed, as you seek the Lord in your decision today, don't let this moment close out on you. I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down as our invitation continues. You do business with God. Do not allow this to get away. This moment of conviction in your heart and in your life, what will you do with it? Will you respond?
Just as I am, I would be lost, but mercy and grace, my freedom bought, and now to glory in your cross, oh Lamb of God.
Father, as we come to you right now, we do so, Lord, realizing that as we stand before you, there's not a single thing that is hidden. Father, today I pray that you will find us faithful in your sight. I pray that we haven't been the unfaithful steward in so many areas, our time, our tithe, our talent, or any of those things. And Lord, if we have, it's not about penance, it's about starting over. Lord, it's about being faithful. Thank you for your love and your forgiveness. Help us, Lord, to be able to have a clean heart and a clean hands before you. Bless this offering, Father. Strengthen us through it. This is yours. This is your tithe. This is your offering. It all belongs to you. And you've just asked us to give back that portion, that little tiny portion, that you might bless us and bless us indeed. May we be faithful. And Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a couple quick things, and we'll get you on out of here. Don't forget this evening, we do have Awana starts at 5:30, youth starts at 6, and I'm trying to think, is there building and grounds meeting today? No. Okay. It's quick and easy. At any rate, we're still kind of working through on recovery, as it were, from our little faux pas over there, a little water leak, but keep us in your prayers there. Just a couple quick things. Birthdays this coming week. Is it today? Betty, is it today? Today. Your birthday is today. John, you robbed the cradle, buddy. I tell you, you robbed the cradle. Happy birthday to Miss Betty. And then also this coming Thursday, Philip Kiever will be celebrating a birthday. Anniversaries, we have some special anniversary dates this week. Jonathan and Debbie. I didn't know Debbie's parents let her get married when she was 5, but Debbie and Jonathan tomorrow, 30th anniversary, right? Milestone. Congratulations, guys. That's rare in this day and age. And then also Saturday, Annette and Kelly Joyce. We'll celebrate. Which one's this for you? 39. Wow. I tell you, man, all these guys married these young ladies around here. It just they're all the guys are old, but the women are just super. And that's why they're still here, because their wives take care of them. But at any rate, if you send cards or do social media, just let them know how much you enjoy them, appreciate them, and celebrate their longevity in marriage, for one thing, as well as the God-given birthday that they had. So we look forward to celebrating many, many more, okay? If there's nothing else, let's stand. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer, and we'll look forward to seeing you this evening. All right, Father, you're good, and we thank you for the fact that, that Lord, you've given us instruction, even in the situations that are complicated in our lives. Lord, we're not always as obedient as we should, but I pray that you will help us. Lord, today, may we glean from your word. May your Holy Spirit have penetrated our heart in such a way that where there are areas that need adjustment, we will be faithful to do so. And Lord, I also pray that you would just lead us and guide us along the path, that we might truly be an example of you when it comes down to forgiveness. Lord, not only accepting forgiveness on ourselves from you, but Lord, granting forgiveness to those who need it in our lives. May we be found faithful. Lord, bless us. Help us to be a blessing to someone as we go out of this place today, as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, God bless you. We look forward to seeing you tonight.